Greetings, Star Wars nerds. It's Nerd11 reporting it. So, we go several weeks with absolutely no Star Wars news whatsoever. And I know that I haven't been recording myself, but as a whole, for the fandom, we really haven't had any brand new news. Most of the stuff that we have been hearing was mostly people talking about Last Jedi, and I kind of come burned out talking about it. So, I wanted to take a break from it, let things die down, and just wait until we finally got confirmation of news about Solo, A Star Wars Story. So we go from on last week, around Wednesday, Thursday, news comes out that, you know, there's speculation that there's going to be a trailer that's going to drop during the Super Bowl, which kind of made sense, but then we didn't think it was going to be a full trailer, that it was going to then be kind of a teaser, because as we all know, ads during the quote-unquote big game, because, you know, the word Super Bowl is trademarked, is that they're going to do a teaser trailer during that time, and basically say that the full trailer is going to come out on ABC station, because it's owned by Disney, during Good Morning America. This isn't anything new. They've done this for other Star Wars movies. They did this during The Force Awakens. There was a quick teaser ad during the Super Bowl, and then the next morning they did it on Good Morning America, just like they did for Solo. But a lot of us had been wondering what was going on with Solo, because there had been absolutely no news. Ron Howard had even stopped tweeting out photos and things like that. We knew that it was in post-production, but we didn't know, is it being delayed until December? Are they still going to stick with the target date of May 25th? And then lo and behold, here we get this 30-second spot that drops during the big game. Didn't really show us anything. Alden Ehrenreich spoke maybe two or three words. We had one image of Lando Calrissian, Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian, and that awesome fur cape. You know, we saw a lot of Emilia Clarke and just a lot of quick images. New TIE class, which has kind of become a Star Wars trope that you always see a new type of fighter from the bad guys every single movie, but we didn't really get anything. And then all of a sudden on Monday we get the full trailer that dropped at 8:30 Eastern time on Good Morning America, and that kind of blew everything up. I didn't want to do a real quick off-the-cuff reaction to it on Monday. I kind of wanted to digest it, plus I didn't really get to watch it on a big screen. I was at work when it came out, and all I got to watch it on was my small phone. So doing that, I was just going to wait until I could get a better look at things and do a breakdown. And then all of a sudden today, on Tuesday, we get several breaking items that happen. The announcement that D.B. Weiss and David Benioff, the writers and creators behind Game of Thrones on HBO, are going to be given their own Star Wars trilogy that's separate from Rian Johnson's, that's separate from the Saga trilogy, that they're going to be doing that. And then Bob Iger came out and confirmed, yes, there's several new Star Wars projects that are in the works for the Disney new streaming service that's coming out in 2019. So there's been a lot of Star Wars news that's kind of hit one right after another over the last few days. So what I'm going to do today, even though it's typically TV Tuesday, we're kind of going to roll it all together between TV and movies and kind of talk about it all tonight. And by the end of it, on the East Coast, it's going to be Wednesday, and then we'll go from there. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to look at the full trailer that came out on Monday. So I'm going to talk about a couple of things that really stood out to me. I really liked the music that's presented in it. It sounds almost as if they're using a rock and roll guitar and gives you more of a rock and roll feel to it, which to me kind of harkens back to thinking of John Williams and his son, who actually performed in Toto for a short time and helped him write. I can't remember if it was Lopdinek at the time. So, for Return of the Jedi. So, you know, hearing that gives me, you know, a good feel for what the movie is going to be like. We're going to have fast-paced. It's not going to be kind of melodious and orchestral. So, if the movie keeps going in that direction with using musical tones similar to that, I think the soundtrack is going to be phenomenal. So in the trailer itself, one of the first things that we see in both the teaser for the teaser and also the full-length teaser trailer itself, because it's not a full two and a half minute trailer, it's technically a teaser, I guess. So, but anyways, what we see in both of them is you see a hand flipping switches on, and if you take a closer look, you can tell that that is the control panel for the Millennium Falcon. Now, it doesn't look as beat up, nor does it have exposed wires or anything. It looks like it's almost a brand new car, which we'll see other we'll see later on in the trailer. You know, corridors are stark white, brand new, right off the showroom floor, which is what you expect Lando Calrissian to be flying around in. It's something nice looking. You're not going to find the souped up, messed up version that Han Solo and Chewbacca are kicking around the galaxy in come episode 4. Then we cut to a speeder roaming through the streets, which I'm hoping is one of our first looks at Corellia itself, and then they pan out and you see that it is Alden Ehrenreich, Han Solo, bombing around the streets with Emilia Clarke's character, Kira. You also see hanging from what almost looks like it should be the rear view mirror is Han Solo's lucky dice. So hopefully we get a little bit more, kind of ties it into The Last Jedi, in which the lucky dice came into real prominence there. But for those of us from that remember the original trilogy, I do remember seeing the dice hanging from the Millennium Falcon in that. So it's nice to see that they're tying that all together. Alden Ehrenreich gives a voiceover through it all and kind of gives you an idea of where Han Solo is in his life at the time. He's been pulling scams on the street since he was 10. He's been kicked out of the flight academy because he thought with his own mind, had his own opinions. Then you see him talking to Woody Harrelson's character, and he's telling him that they're putting a crew together, which kind of gives you a hint as to what the movie's going to be all about. It sounds like this is going to be almost a Western, spaghetti Western train heist type of film. So it's really good to see all these images coming through. It's funny, just in this minute and a half that we get of the full trailer, it looks like Emilia Clarke's character goes through 4 different costume changes and changes her hair several times. I'll speculate responsibly on that later on. So, but then we get shots of Donald Glover and Tandy Newton's character, who I believe they said that her name is Val. Overall, the feel of this trailer, just looking at the shots and looking at the posters that they've put out, the one sheets that they've put out for, or sorry, the character sheets that they've put out for the movie so far, it really gives you the feeling of almost a spaghetti Western, which I'm really looking forward to. I like that they're using these standalone films, the Star Wars stories, to try and give you different genres, kind of like what Marvel is doing with their standalone movies and things like that. So it's really nice to see. I've went from, my feelings on this movie have really changed. I went from going from really not looking forward to it, asking why in the heck are we doing a Han Solo film? Why aren't we introducing newer characters just like Rogue One did? Rogue One kind of expanded the universe and gave us new faces and things like that. Now we're going back and we're going to be telling the Han Solo stories. To seeing it on screen in front of me, I'm really excited for this. As a matter of fact, when it came on and I realized that it was a advertisement for the Han Solo movie, I actually reached over and I grabbed my wife's leg. Now, a lot of people have been wondering why in the world did they wait until the Super Bowl to do this advertisement? Some people were speculating that the Star Wars film was, or that the movie was in trouble, and that Disney wasn't confident with it. But I actually believe this has been part of their plan all along. They knew that having it so quickly after the release of The Last Jedi, that there was going to be a short window in which they could actually do advertising. They knew that they were going to be doing it on Memorial Day, and matter of fact, they had hoped to move the movies back into May and become summer blockbusters, but J.J. Abrams came back when he took over for Colin Trevorrow and said, there is no way I'm getting this movie written, produced, and put out within a year and a half. There's no way I'm doing it. So I'm going to need a full, almost 2 years in order to get this movie done. And Disney said, all right, go ahead and do it. So here we have, Disney realizing, okay, we have from December to May, we got 5 months in which we can go in here and we got to figure out a marketing plan. What is a big event that we could do advertising around that we're going to get the maximum amount of eyes on this advertisement, and so happened to be the Super Bowl. Brilliant. Everybody, it's one of the largest events watched. Even though the NFL has been much maligned this last year, you knew people were still going to turn around and watch the big game. Not necessarily to watch the game itself, but everybody wants to see what the new ads are that are coming out. So maximize it. Yes, spend those advertising dollars instead of stretching that marketing budget out over, a year and a half, almost an entire year. Here we're going to give it to you. And to be honest with you, I think I have thought that The Last Jedi, Force Awakens, and Rogue One were over-advertised, in my opinion. There actually got a point on all three of them that I stopped watching TV spots, I stopped watching trailers, because I felt like it was giving away a little bit too much. So, here I am hopeful with the Han Solo, a Star Wars story, that we're not going to get inundated with spots. An advertisement and people going through and doing the interview circuits and things like that. So, but even though they did this push, one of the things that I have to remember, and what I think we all need to remember as Star Wars fans, is that these advertisements are not for me and they're not for you. They're for the general movie-going audience to get this into their minds. I just kind of asked around my office, family members and things like that, and said, were you aware that there was going to be another Star Wars movie coming out in May? And a lot of people were like, no, is that going to be the continuation of the movie that they just did in December? That's crazy. How did they do that? Things like that. And even my father-in-law, when the advertisement came on during the Super Bowl, looked at me and said, they're doing another Star Wars movie? I'm like, yeah, it's coming out in May. It's all about Han Solo. He's like, oh, that's great. I asked my parents, who live in a different part of the country. They really did not watch the Super Bowl, and as a matter of fact, they missed the ad. And my mom, who and dad, who are the ones responsible for me getting involved in Star Wars, and kind of getting hooked on it from a young age, neither one of them knew anything about Solo coming out this year. Absolutely nothing. So this is Disney's genius marketing plan of getting this out in front of the eyes of as many people as they possibly could. So, in my opinion, this was brilliant. You know, pay the money to do the 30-second spot on during the big game, and then brilliantly splash up what they said. You know, Memorial Day, full trailer coming tomorrow. Okay, so everybody knows full trailer is coming tomorrow. They didn't put on that it was going to be on Good Morning America. They really didn't have to, because people would automatically know that they would that if they missed it on Good Morning America, it's going to be on YouTube right away. And sure enough, minutes after it showed on Good Morning America, it showed up on YouTube. I'm actually grateful that they did that, because, like I said, 8:30 in the morning, that's when I'm actually at work. So, in order for me to catch it, I had to watch it digitally, and I did several times. But there are still people who are going to be detractors from this movie. A lot of people were upset that they were doing a Han Solo film, because they think, you know, how can you do a young Han Solo film? You know, you're not going to have Harrison Ford in it. You got this new kid, Alden Ehrenreich, that nobody knows about. But you got to remember, even when Harrison Ford got the part of Han Solo, he wasn't necessarily there to audition for the part. He was actually working as a carpenter in the offices where they were doing the casting at, and they needed an extra person to read for the part, somebody, I believe it was either Francis Ford Coppola or Spielberg or somebody that George Lucas knew said, hey, you know, Harrison's just up to, you know, just a little while over, he's doing some woodworking, why don't we bring him in and have him read? You know, he's done a couple of movies. And he had. At that point, he had just been doing bit parts. He was a waiter. I believe he actually ended up in American Graffiti as well. He came in, and everybody knows the story. He read the part, and then obviously he won them over. He was Han Solo. Taking Harrison Ford, who was at the time little known to anybody, and turning him into this iconic character of Han Solo is very apropos that we now have Alden Ehrenreich, who is a little known actor. He's done, his biggest part has been in Hail Caesar, that everyone proclaimed that he really stole that movie. So having him come in and take on this role, it was nice to hear in the trailer that he wasn't doing an impersonation of Han Solo. Just like Chris Pine in the new Star Trek films, he's not doing a William Shatner impersonation of Captain Kirk. He's not. He's doing his own interpretation of the character, but at the same time, he is still staying true to the character. And there's times in the short 2 minutes that we've seen so far of Alden Ehrenreich as Han Solo, where he's given a look, or the way he's standing and the way that he delivers a line, I can buy that he's Han Solo. Just like I can kind of buy that Donald Glover is Lando Calrissian. Not just by his look, and a lot of people have given him an automatic pass. I mean, as soon as they announced that he was playing Lando Calrissian, everyone's like, oh, this is perfect casting, this, that, and the other thing. Whereas I was looked at it and was like, okay, yeah, I can understand maybe him pulling off the swagger of Billy Dee Williams, but Billy Dee is larger than life. So, in my opinion, both Donald Glover and Alden Ehrenreich have large shoes to fill. They've got the hardest job out of anyone else in this film, because they're taking over two iconic roles from two iconic actors of Billy Dee Williams and Harrison Ford. So you not only got to sell to me that these two guys kind of knew each other and used to be friends, that circumstances threw them together, but you also got to pull off the swagger that each of them have in a little bit different ways. You know, Harrison Ford, when he played Han Solo was always the guy who came in and was brash and bold in front of everybody. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. And as soon as everybody else turned around, turned to his buddy and goes, oh, I don't know how we're going to get out of this one. Whereas Lando Calrissian was always a smooth character, no matter what. Even Han Solo called him an old smoothie, because he knows how he is with the ladies. So, to them, I think they got the hardest jobs. Now, on top of that, you got the wild cards of, Woody Harrelson and his new character. You got Emilia Clarke, who has done a few movies, but is best known for her acting in Game of Thrones. And she's playing a brand new character. We have no information whatsoever on Tandy Newton's character, what she's playing as. And Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Bridger, I can't remember her last name, I apologize, so, but I do believe it's Phoebe Waller-Bridge. She, you know, is doing the robot that we see, the droid that we see in the trailer that's hanging out with Lando and with Han. Kind of looks like she's going to be Lando's co-pilot, because at one part in the trailer you see Lando giving his classic two-finger salute, and the droid's returning it right back to him. So it also looks like we're going to see some familiar species, which a lot of people were complaining about, that we were getting way too many new, brand new, never seen before species in Star Wars films. You know, where are the familiar ones? Where are the Twi'leks? Where are the Rodians? Where are the Grants? Where are the where are the Mon Calamarians? You know, because really the only Mon Cal that we saw in the new sequel trilogies is Admiral Ackbar, who's now gone. So a lot of people were asking, where are those familiar alien species? You see them in the one club scene, that there's a couple of Twi'leks that are there dancing around. When you see Han walk into what will most likely be the game of Sabacc, in which he wins the Millennium Falcon from Lando Calrissian, you see a Grand that's sitting there. So, you know, we're going to get back to some of those familiar characters. Something else that felt familiar was the tone in these trailers made it feel like it was connected to Rogue One. Yes, they're set, hopefully, about 5 to 10 years apart from each other. We still don't know where in the timeline this is going to fall, but we know it's before Han meets up with the Rebels, meets up with Luke on Tatooine. So, obviously it's before the events of Rogue One, but it's after the events of Revenge of the Sith, because we know that Han Solo isn't playing a baby. So, and he's signing up for the Empire to be in their flight academy. So, we know that it falls within that 19 to 20 year time span in there. So, really interested to see exactly where this falls. One of the other cool things that we see is that Han is going to be facing off against a couple of ruffians that are in different forms of armor and most likely a band of bounty hunters, or not necessarily bounty hunters, but mercenaries, maybe. You know, maybe they're working for another crime family that they're, you know, that Woody Harrelson's crew that Han Solo is now a part of is kind of going against. But it's not Boba Fett, as far as we know. For all we know, it could be Boba Fett. He just hasn't started wearing his version of his father's armor. Who knows? That would be interesting to see. But I'm really holding out hope that the next movie, or one of the next Star Wars stories, is going to be a Boba Fett movie. But it's not just Boba Fett, but a bunch of bounty hunters, and yet another type of a Western. But that's speculation for another day. With all the big news that's coming out of Disney, let's just hold our breath and wait and see what happens post Solo, a Star Wars story. So, so yeah, we've got all of this news that's coming out, and it's hitting us fast and hard. But I really think that they made a good choice. And just asking a couple of people, one guy at work in particular, he's not a huge, he's a huge Star Wars fan. He was big into the expanded universe, which is now Legends. He's one of those people that was hoping that they would bring back characters like Mara Jade and Jason and Jaina Solo. He was really huge fans of theirs, and not seeing them specifically coming back into canon, he's a little about it. So, but the one of the cool things is that I'm able to get another perspective, and in asking him what he thought about the trailer, one of the big things that really turns him off is the naming convention for these standalone films. A Star Wars story. He said it makes him think of the Christmas Story, and he's half expecting to see in the trailer a Wookiee leg lamp or a Red Ryder blaster rifle. So he's just he's not really sold on it. So and not being big into somebody else playing the character, he's really into wanting to see them expand the universe just like they did in the old Legend novels. So he'll probably end up seeing this. I'll probably get him to see it either when it comes out on DVD or Blu-ray or to a streaming service near you, and I think ultimately he'll end up enjoying it a little bit. So I just thought it was funny that any time that I talk to him about it, that's what immediately pops into his mind. So so yeah, I mean, here we are getting all these films one right after the other. Now there is a fellow anchor channel called Battlefield Tech, which handles Star Wars technology. He, like myself, doesn't have a regularly scheduled segments. He was going through various different vehicles within Star Wars. He calls himself Grey Jedi, and he actually posed me a question a couple weeks back, and I told him I would talk about it, and I just haven't had a chance to. So I'll take the opportunity to talk about it here. He asked me what my favorite Star Wars film is. And for me, that's a really difficult question to answer, because each of the trilogies have happened in different stages of my life. Obviously, when the what is now dubbed the original trilogy came out, it was when I was a child. I mean, those came out when I was born. I grew up with them, and for me, of the original trilogy, yes, I'll say that Empire Strikes Back, if I'm looking at things cinematically and looking at it from a critical standpoint of movies, Empire Strikes Back checks off all the boxes. But as far as the original trilogy goes, my favorite film is Return of the Jedi. To me, I really identified with that movie. It wasn't because I had, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, and I still own them, several Ewok plush dolls. No, it wasn't because of that. The Ewoks were not what sold me on it. What really sold me on it was the story of Luke maturing, and here is here's somebody who is responsible for redeeming his family and actually finding his true family, finding his sister, saving his father, and being able to be pushed to the farthest reaches of himself mentally, and being able to look back at the Emperor and say, "No, I'm not joining you." That the Emperor, that the evil one has failed, that he's now a Jedi just like his father was before him, and that he would not succumb to it, and that it took his father turning back to the light to save him. And in this culmination of this journey, that we realize that, you know, yes, Darth Vader was the quote-unquote villain throughout these three films, but the story isn't about just Luke Skywalker. It's about a father and a son coming together and joining together to not rule the galaxy as Darth Vader had initially proposed and wanted selfishly, but a father and son coming together to save the galaxy. And to me, that really has always stuck with me, is that I really love the music from Return of the Jedi. It's one of my favorite scores. But once the prequel trilogy came out, that was right after I had transitioned out of high school and was going into college. And during that 6 to 7 years, in that time frame, I went through a lot of different changes in my life too. Phantom Menace, I absolutely loved it. I mean, I had posters of Phantom Menace all over my college dorm room. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I had Podracer posters up, and things like that. I always loved the Phantom Menace in Episode 1. I thought it had one of the best lightsaber duels ever in it, until Revenge of the Sith came along. And yes, you can probably see a trend here. I really love the third chapter in every single one of these trilogies. Now, I'm not going to bash on Attack of the Clones like everybody tends to do. I actually like Attack of the Clones. Yes, there were story beats that could have been done a little bit better. Yes, the chemistry between Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman wasn't there 100%. Yes, the way that some of the lines were delivered were kind of, to say the least. But that also has the hangover from The Phantom Menace, knowing that Anakin was just this little 9-year-old boy, and it's hard for me to sit there and imagine my son, who is 9, liking someone who is older than his older sister, who's almost in high school. And actually, I think at the time they said that Anakin was 9 and Padme was 14. So here is a third, fourth grader who is falling in love with a freshman, sophomore in high school. No. So in my headcanon, Anakin is always a little bit older in episode 1. It's just the way I see it. It kind of makes it a little less, should we say, creepy in my mind. But yeah, this is a real hard question for me to answer. I don't have just one favorite Star Wars movie. I truly love every single one of the Star Wars films that have come out. I have to admit, the only Star Wars film that I walked out of and kind of shook my head and said, I can't believe I paid my, $7.50, $8, $6, whatever it was at the time, to buy a movie ticket for, was the Clone Wars animated feature film. That's the only one that I went, man, why didn't they just put this on TV? But, you know what? That theater, when I went and saw it, it was jam-packed. And it wasn't because I didn't enjoy the story. To me, it was almost like, it did take me back to when I was a kid and watching, Transformers movie, in the movie theaters, or seeing G.I. Joe on the big screen. But, to me, it wasn't long enough. And the story didn't connect enough. If they had started off with the episode on Christophus that Anakin and Obi-Wan are dealing with, there being a clone that is a traitor within their midst, and then they meet up with Asajj Ventress for one of the first times, if that had been the opening to the film and not the opening that we got on the Battle of Christophus, I think that would have been a little bit better. That's just me. It would have added an extra half hour onto the movie. It would have given me a little bit more bang for my buck. It would have introduced, Ventress earlier on, made her seem more menacing, things like that. And it would have given me a chance of getting used to this new version of Anakin and Obi-Wan before introducing a brand new character in Ahsoka. But you know what? That's really my answer, Gray, is that I don't really have a favorite Star Wars film. I just have one that I just don't like as much as I like all the other ones. That's my take on all the events that have happened over the last couple of weeks. What's yours? Go ahead and give us a call in here at the here on our anchor station, or you can find us on Twitter at the_SWNerds. Go ahead and shoot me a tweet there, and I'll, like I said, I may respond to it here on the podcast. Always follow us on Anchor, where you can find us at anchor.fm/StarWarsNerds. Or you can actually find us on Facebook. Just look up the Star Wars Nerds, and like our Facebook page. I do post different articles and things that I see coming throughout the day, whether it's an article or a YouTube video or shouting out another podcast or even a segment from on Anchor that I enjoyed from another podcast. So go ahead and find us at all those places of social media. And as always, may the Force be with you.